Well, good morning. Good morning. Nice to see you. Good to have you here. I'm glad you're here. Thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us. Before we start, there's a sweet little precious girl in the room named Ayla Ann Moreno, and she is the granddaughter of Jose and connected with Jose and Michelle. They have the privilege of having her in their home on a regular basis, almost every day, right? And she has a very serious heart condition. And she has a surgery coming up that was a very difficult decision for her parents to make. They decided to make the decision to go ahead and have the surgery. So what we want to do this morning before we get into God's word is surround this family with prayer and for God's presence. When we're talking about God being with us, God is with Ayla and with Jose and Michelle and the family. So I would like to invite us to pray and extend some grace in this direction this morning. And Jose, could you come up here for a moment, you and Michelle too? And this is Ayla. I had the privilege of having lunch with Ayla a couple weeks ago, and we bonded over tacos. Yeah, it was very, very wonderful. Sweet little presence here. So I want you to see this face, and I want you to remember this little sweet girl, and we'll give you more details as time progresses when the surgery is actually going to be, as they organize it. But this family needs a lot of our support and encouragement. So let's pray together. God, we pray for this sweet little girl this morning, Ayla, and we pray that your presence would be with her, that your healing power would be upon her, and that you would touch her in the name of Jesus, and that you would restore her. And this heart condition, God, this is in your hands. You are the giver of life and the giver of breath, and the giver of the sweet heart. And so we pray that you would touch her and heal her. We thank you for granting her your grace and your peace. And I pray for peace on Jose and Michelle, knowing that what we feel as parents and grandparents is so deep and connected to our children and our grandchildren. Our heart is with them. And so we pray for your peace on them too, and the parents of this sweet little girl, and that you would rest upon her now and give her your grace and peace. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, thank you, guys. Oh, sweet, very sweet. What's going on in this front section right here? Everybody's afraid? Are we afraid? Do I spit when I talk? James is okay. James is my brother. Nice to have you up front, James. We're going to be reading Exodus chapter 3, verses 7 through 15 this morning. I had anticipated getting out of Exodus 3. Last week was going to be my last week, but it feels like a piece of string that you find on a sweater that's starting to unravel, and then you just pull it, and you're like, uh-oh, the whole sweater is coming apart. So I kind of feel like that with Exodus 3. I just keep pulling the string, and more comes out. So we're actually going to be here probably this week and next. If I can come up with more material next week, we'll see what happens. But it's a passage of Scripture that I have sat with in the last 10 years quite a bit, quite extensively. It has meant a lot to me, and I want to share a little bit about some of my journey this morning in Exodus 3. So it's something that's very familiar with me. I've internalized a lot of Exodus chapter 3, so it's a very important thing. Now, just a quick recap from the last 2 weeks, we've been talking about the breath of God, and we said in our English translations, whenever you see the words capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, these are four Hebrew letters that God gave to Moses in Exodus 3, YHVH. And we've determined somewhat, we've kind of come up with this concept that YHVH is untranslatable, it's unpronounceable. We can't pronounce it. So all we can say when we say the name of God is, that's about the best we can do. Then you probably know, okay, I think we're dealing with the real God now. When we can just say breath. That's all we can say. And what's been fun for me is to listen to all the different growth groups that you're gathering through the week, and you're processing the things that we're talking about on Sunday morning. So that's exciting to see that you're actually internalizing these things and processing and working through it together, making it your own. So that's been very, very fun to watch that. So what we're going to talk about this morning is that this breath now becomes flesh. So that's the kind of the overarching theme. Breath becomes flesh. I think I put down on your sheets facing our pharaohs, and then I change like midstream. So pastors can do that sometimes. So breath becomes flesh is kind of the overarching theme this morning. So let's read together Exodus 3, verses 7 through 15, and I'm going to ask you to stand with me as we read the scriptures together. This is the word of the Lord. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. I did it. I said it. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I've seen the way of the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now, go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. That is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, Yahweh, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name that you shall call me from generation to generation. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Now, this morning, as we navigate through Exodus 3, we're going to focus on verses 12 and 14. Those two verses are kind of the key points this morning that we'll be looking at. So keep that in mind as we move through the text this morning. Now, when you read it, the first observation that just jumps out to me is these expressions in verses 7 through 8. As God is revealing more and more of his character to Moses and who he is, there's some key phrases, statements that jump out to me. And there's four of them that jump out immediately. I have seen, I have heard, I am concerned, and I have come down. This is what the breath of God actually looks like. So breath is becoming flesh. It's moving more into like, okay, now we're starting to put some skin on this thing and we're understanding who this breath is. A God that sees, a God that hears, a God that is concerned, and a God that comes down. Now that raises a lot of questions for me. So the question I asked this morning is this. How many of you in the room this morning do not feel heard or listened to, right? If we're honest, anyone in the room, not feel heard or listened to? Okay, four of you. Okay, great. Misery loves company, so you can join me this morning. I think, from what I gather, it's probably safe to assume that many people, many of us do not feel heard, like truly heard. Like people kind of hear us. If we're honking our horns at them, or if our music's really loud, or we're yelling, they hear us. But do they really hear us? Do they really understand what we're saying and what we are communicating? So I want to ask you some questions this morning, and I want to dialogue with you for just a moment. So I want you to talk back to me, all right? Typically, I just talk, and you sit and observe. Now it's okay. I'm giving you permission to talk back to me. When you don't feel heard and you don't feel listened to, what happens inside of you? You what? You wonder if there's really God? Yeah, okay. Yep. Okay, good. I'm with you. What else? What happens inside of you? You get angry. Who gets angry? Boom. Okay, that one resonated with more than four people in the room. So clearly, it clearly ticks us off. It gets down to something. You're not listening to me. I'm mad at you. Okay. So, sorry. I clearly need some therapy. What else? Yes. Self-pity, rejection. Absolutely. Jen. Yes. Yeah, it dehumanizes you. Yeah, absolutely. Devalued is a good word. They don't care. Yes. Yeah, you kind of want to give up. Yeah, why keep trying if you're not really listening to me? Anxious. Why does it make you feel anxious? Okay. Yeah. Good expression. Yep. Yeah. I'm not communicating clearly. There's something. It's about me. Something's going on in me. Yeah. What's that? We don't have control. Outside of this stuff called skin, we don't have control of anything. Right. Yep. What else? Frustrated, anger, rejection, self-pity, I just want to give up, devalued, I don't want to connect. What's going on? So there's all these feelings is something that all of us experience. Now, when someone hears you, they just hear you and you know they're listening to you. Like you can see it in their expression. How do you feel? What goes on inside of you? Validated. Yes. Loved. Big one. That's my wife, by the way. She feels loved. That is huge. Important. Absolutely. Good words. What else? You feel safe? Yeah. That resonates with me. And when you feel safe, you're no longer anxious. Isn't that beautiful? It's really good. When I feel safe, I open up. And I want to connect more. And I wonder, like when someone listens to me, I feel valued. I no longer feel devalued, but I feel valued. I feel validated. I feel like, this is good. Connection starts to happen. When the person on the other side of the table looks at me and says, I heard what you said. I've listened to you. It just makes you feel loved, as Shannon reminds us. It makes us feel like we're important. It's like a reversal of everything we just said originally. All the ways in which that turns around. Now, the expressions that we just read in Exodus 3 where I see you and I hear you and I've come down and I'm with you. This is the God, the breath that we've been looking at, that we worship, that we long to connect to, the God who sees, the God who hears, the God who opens up for a relationship. And when Stacy says, I feel safe, I feel connected, I think what happens many times is when you begin to feel connected to a person, you begin to enjoy one another on a whole new level. Isn't that true? Did you know that God actually enjoys you? Like he enjoys you. Like that whole concept, I know for some of us, is like, not really. He doesn't really enjoy us. No. He absolutely enjoys you. He enjoys you so much that he sees you and hears you and wants to connect to you. One of my favorite verses in all of Scripture is in the book of Zephaniah. Now, how many of you have read Zephaniah this last week? Brian, yes, of course you have. Awesome. Great book. But Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17, I want to read it to you. This is a beautiful description of Yahweh. It says, the Lord, again, the breath of God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. Now that word rejoice can be translated as frolics. Now, okay, seriously, frolics, the Lord God, the mighty warrior. It's like the Lord your God is with you, the breath of God. We're in the room, we're going, yeah, I can connect to that. He's a mighty warrior who saves us. We're like, yes, that's the strong God that we worship. He's with us. He takes delight in us. Okay, I can kind of grapple with, he probably delights in us most of the time, but not always. But then that's followed up with, and he will no longer rebuke you because his love for you is so great. So that could pretty much just wipes that whole notion out. And then at the end it says, but he will rejoice over you with singing. He will rejoice. He will frolic over you. That means, now that gives me the image of God jumping up and down, frolicking over creation, over you. Like when he made you. Can you see like God, this mighty warrior, jumping up and down, skipping over his creation, singing and rejoicing over you? Does the idea of God jumping up and down, frolicking over you, bring up anything inside of your heart? Does it make you uncomfortable? Like tomorrow over lunch, hey, what did you guys talk about at church? God frolics over me. Yeah, he rejoices over us. That's the God that we worship. That's the God who sees, the God who hears, the God that longs to connect, the God that comes down, the one who frolics, the one who just unleashes. He longs to connect with humanity and the beauty of us, his creation. That's breath becoming flesh. It's like, okay, the breath of God, we can't really like, oh, this is such a big concept, so mysterious, but then that breath now becomes flesh. And he sees us and he hears us and he comes down with us. And I love the image of God coming down. It's a main theme in all of Scripture. God coming down and dwelling with humanity, longing to connect, becoming flesh and moving into our world and our reality. Now, I don't always feel like God is with me. Now, when I read verse 12, that says, I will be with you. When Moses is sharing his anxiety and he's nervous and he's like, well, who am I to go do this thing that you're asking me to do? Which we'll explore that question, I think, next week, the who am I question. But who am I that you're sending me? Because that brings up a lot of anxiety, like, why me? But the question then comes back and God responds, okay, before we get into any of that, before I send you out, Moses, and before I begin to explain things to you, I want to tell you some more things about myself. And I love how God doesn't respond to Moses' anxiety. He says, this is who I am. He says, you need to know who I am before you go out. And he tells Moses who he is, and he says, I will be with you. Again, this breath is becoming flesh. I will be with you. Now, this raises a question for me. When you've been with a person, and by that I mean you're present with them, and they are present with you, can I ask you again, what happens inside of you? When the person on the other side of the table has been present with you and you are present with them, what happens? You feel connected. Joy? Yeah, it is a joyful thing. It's wonderful because it doesn't always happen. What else? You feel loved. Yes. Good. Again, these are great, great expressions. The breath of God becoming flesh. Now, again, I don't always feel like God is with me. In the last 10 years, I've gone through a season of serious doubt. Now, as a minister standing up here, I'm supposed to have all my stuff together. I do not have it all together. In fact, I don't take myself very serious. I really don't. And especially what I've been through in the last 10 years, just some serious doubt and questioning. I have felt like my wife uses the expression shipwrecked in her own experience. I use the expression that I feel like God has just been deconstructing me. And a lot of my images of what I thought God was like have been deconstructed. And I use the image of a spider web. And in the center is Jesus, the resurrected Jesus. And then there's all these offshoots of things that I believe. And I feel like a lot of that stuff just been clipped. And it's a really helpless feeling. And there are times when I don't feel like God is with me, but I've learned not to always rely on my feelings because my feelings are all over the place. I don't know about you, but sometimes my feelings are dictated by caffeine, endorphins, things that are being released in my body through running and exercising. It's like, oh, I feel great today. And that might just have been the sandwich talking. I don't know. But there's something inside, and I'm like, you know, my feelings are all over the place. And if I learn to just rely on my feelings, things are not going to be very consistent. I can't rely on my feelings, even though my feelings matter, and your feelings do matter. But I don't rely on that stuff. What I rely on is something that's foundational. And I kept coming back to Exodus chapter 3, and I kept reminding myself of who God was, not who I thought he was, but who he tells me that he is, that he says, I will be with you. And Exodus 3 has become like a touchstone for me, something that I often come back to, and I have this rock that I've kept with me for years. It's in the shape of a heart, and it was given to me by a very dear friend, and he gave it to me as a gift, just as a reminder. And I need visual things. I need something that I can touch. And so I have this as kind of my touchstone, my bedrock that I come back to remind me that who God is, that he has my heart, that he holds me close and near and dear to him. And when God shows up, many times he actually looks a lot like people. So through my doubts and through my questions and as I process things, God kept bringing me people to remind me that he was with me. Now, sometimes when the pastor's up front and he just says, hey, God is with you, everything's going to be okay, you're like, I don't know if you believe what you're saying. I don't know. And I'm a skeptical person. I'm pretty skeptical. And I have a big like BS radar that goes like, I can kind of read it and hone in on it. Like, this is not registering. Much to my detriment, probably. But I can kind of pick up on stuff and I'm sniffing it out going, this stinks. But sometimes people would say, hey, God is with you. And I'd be like, I don't know. But this one guy, his name's Wayne Carlson. You guys know Wayne. Many of you know Wayne. Wayne is like consistent and steady and good. Wayne allowed me to be crazy and say like crazy stuff. Like, I don't know, Wayne. I don't know if I buy that anymore. And he'd just smile at me and just let me be an idiot. It's okay. That's where you're at right now in your process. And Wayne said something to me, and I was like, when Wayne said it, it came from a very deep place in him. And I felt like, that's real, because it's coming from someone who knows something that I need to know and not just believe. Because there's a difference. There's knowing about, and then there's knowing. And Wayne said, John, one thing that I know, and I don't know a lot. So I'm like, okay, now I trust you because you don't know a lot of things. But you know this. From my experience, I know that God is always ahead of us and he's always with us. And I believe that with all my heart. And I needed to hear that. And it's like the breath needed to become flesh. And it needed to be spoken to me by someone that I'm like, yeah, I believe what you're saying. And I want that. I want to get back to that. And that's like another touchstone. It's this breath becomes flesh. It's a touchstone. It's things that I come back to, something personal, something consistent that's steady and constant. And in his words, I knew it came from a deep place. And it was like, that's exactly what I needed to hear. And then I kept coming back to Exodus 3, and I would just let Exodus 3 pour over me. I've seen you. I've heard you. I am concerned. I am with you. I am with you. And I let that pour over me. There's this old expression they used, hundreds of years ago, where they would use the phrase to abase yourself in the majesty of God. And I would always think, like, what am I, a turkey? You're abasting me? But it's just to let yourself, it's like to saturate yourself, to let it pour over you and let it become part of you, internalize it. And I would let Exodus 3 pour over me and Zephaniah 3:17 pour over me so that it became part of me, that it was my touchstone, that I kept coming back to you. And so when I read Exodus 3, verse 12, let this pour over you. Listen to what it says. And God said, Moses, I will be with you. Stop. I will be with you. Now, God revealed himself to Moses first and foremost as breath. And so Moses is like, okay, can't translate that. Not registering, not computing. Give me more. How about this? I will be with you. Is that your name? Yeah, I will be with you. It's not really a name, is it? Tells you that God's name is more than just a name, a way that we can identify him. There's something else going on. So Moses in the next verse asks him the question after he says, I will be with you. Hey, what's your name? Right? Let's stop playing the game here. What's your name? That is, what is your nature? What kind of a God are you? God replies in verse 14 with three Hebrew words, Eya, Asher, Eya. Now, Eya, Asher, Eya. Eya is a Hebrew word that means I am. Asher, get this, untranslatable. Awesome. Brilliant. Untranslatable. The best that they could come up with to is in relation to or that. So I am in relation to I am. Oh, okay, that clears it up. I am that I am. I will be what I will be. Now that word Eya was used back in verse 12. I will be with you. So Eya shows up in verse 12. Eya Asher Eya shows up in verse 14. I will be what I will be. I will be with you. So Moses, before you go, there's some things you need to know. Before I send you into the world, I want you to know who I am. I am God with us, God with you, which means that in the darkness, the thing that you have to walk into, I am going to go with you into the darkness. And we're not going to deny that the darkness exists. And I'm not just going to take you out of the darkness and the trouble and the trial and the pain. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to come into it with you. And so we have these expectations of God, just like, remove me from this. He's like, no, I come into it with you. And we'll move through it together. And that's a God that I've come to know. It's like, God is with us. He doesn't pull us out of it. He takes us through it, and he walks with us through it. Years ago, a mentor said to me a very wise thing. He says, Jonathan, you're either on your way into the furnace, you're in the furnace, and you're getting ready to come out of it, and then after you come out of it, you're just going to go back into it at some point. I'm like, what? Yeah, that's life. But one thing I've learned, that in the midst of that, whether I'm on my way into the furnace, I'm in it, or I'm coming out of it, getting ready to go back into it, is I can count on this. God is with us. That's what I know. And I've come to know through my doubts, through my pain, through the rejection, through the devaluation, people not hearing, not seeing, not validating, all that stuff. God is with us. I'm with you. This is my name. This is who I am. So Moses, before you go, you need to know some things about who I am and what I embody. So before you go, there's some things I want you to know. You need the blessing on your life before you go. My first sermon here at Edgewater was back in January. I think I'm about seven or eight in. And my first one was on Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. It was the baptism of Jesus. Some of you probably remember some of it. I don't expect you to remember all of it. But in the Matthew chapter 3, verse, I can't remember the verses, but Jesus in his baptism comes up out of the water, and the voice from heaven, the breath of God, says, this is my son, and with him I am well pleased. And we had said in that observation that Jesus hadn't done anything yet. He hadn't said anything. He hadn't ministered. He hadn't preached a sermon. He hadn't done anything. And the divine blessing was given to him before he stepped out into the world to do the things that God had called him to do. The divine blessing was given to him right out of the gate. And that divine blessing is already yours. It's been given to you. This God frolicking over you, delighting in you, he gives you his blessing. Moses, I am with you even before you go. And Moses has a pretty terrible past. His story isn't that great. It's not very shiny. But Moses has a pretty terrible past, and he's running from some things. God says, I can still use you. I can work with this material. Isn't that great news? And he blesses, and he gives him the blessing, and he says, there's some things I want you to know. I want you to have this touchstone, and I want you to know I am that I am. I am that I am. And I began to think about that. When I think about God being the I am, when life's reminding me of what I'm not and what I will never be, God comes down and says, the divine blessing is already given to you. You don't have to be anything for me. You don't have to perform. You don't have to be at your best. You don't even have to be the best at what you do because I am. I'm like, yes. And I don't understand that, but he is. And I don't have to be. Because he is. It's like, whoa, that's deep. My mind's blowing. He is. Even when I am at my worst, he is there, and he always will be. And even when I turn away and I hide my face, like Moses did, he is still with me. And when I look back at my life, and in particular the last 10 years, God was always with me. I didn't always feel it. I doubted. But when I look back, he was always with me. God was with me because I see you, I hear you, I am concerned, I have come down, I will be with you, I am. Settles it, I am. The divine spirit becomes flesh. There's a fancy word that we use to describe when breath becomes flesh, and it's called incarnation. And the incarnation is God's spirit, his divine spirit, coming down into human form. And in the scriptures, this human form is described as Jesus. And when this baby, God comes down in human form as a child, as a baby, infant, open, vulnerable, completely needing help to grow, God humbles himself and becomes a child. What is the name that was to be given to this child? What is it? It was Jesus, but it had another name. What was it? Emmanuel. And what does Emmanuel mean? God with us. Isn't that wonderful? Emmanuel, God with us. And as I understand it, that's God's name. That's his name. Who is this God? God with us. I will be with you. Wow. Jesus is like the ultimate touchstone. The Word, the living Word, becomes flesh. Something that I can come back to. This is how I know that God is with us. And this is what I know. This is what God is like. He's like Jesus. And when I look at Jesus, I have a better understanding of what this breath has become. Now, when Jesus left and he departed and he went back to be with the Father, he made a promise and he says, I will send to you the Holy Spirit. John 14, I will not leave you as an orphan. He says, I won't leave you as an orphan, but I will come to you. Again, I will come to you. And he says in verse 16, the Spirit will come to you and be with you forever. What is God's name forever? I will be with you. And the word, the expression that is used for the Holy Spirit is this Hebrew phrase, Ruach HaKodesh. This is the mighty wind of God. Acts chapter 2. The disciples are gathered in the upper room. Jesus has departed. They're alone. They're afraid. What's going to happen? The Spirit of God comes down and blows and fills them. And it is the Ruach HaKodesh, the mighty wind of God. It's amazing. He starts out as breath. And then breath becomes flesh, and then flesh goes back to breath. It's like full circle. And the breath of God comes and fills us. And so God's breath becomes flesh. Jesus departs and returns as breath. Spirit fills us. We become the flesh, and then we are sent out. And that's where we're going to go next week, as sent ones, and what that means to be a sent people. But we've got to start with the breath of God. We've got to start right before we move out into our community and have an understanding of the things that we need to know, that God is with us. So this morning, we're going to come to the table. And the table, to me, is the beautiful representation of God's very spirit dwelling in human flesh, the body and the blood of Jesus. Now, this table is open for anyone who is not worthy. So if you are worthy and you can pull it off on your own, don't come. But if you're not worthy and you can't do it and you've got to rely on Jesus as your only hope, come to the table and receive the divine blessing that's already yours, the body and the blood of Jesus. Because when I come to the table, what I am saying is this: I need grace. I need the grace of God. I can't do it on my own. I need grace. The table to me is why I can come and partake with my enemies. Because if my enemy can come to the table and I can come to the table, and we both need grace. We both need grace. I need grace. So when you're ready, come to the table this morning. Kenya's going to be over here on my right.